good news that you bring.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any one of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would have been better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown in the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than have two feet be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to
you, Christ. And invite you to be seated. All right, time to be most honest with one another. What is one thing that if someone does differently from you is just plain wrong? I know people, it's folding bath towels. What is the proper way to fold bath towels? Seriously, thirds?
Yes.
Or is it halves? Okay, see, right? Right? Or perhaps it's maybe the way you load the dishwasher. Right? Anything else where like that? Toilet paper. Which way you run the toilet paper? Right?
Which way you put your sheets on the bed?
Which way you put your sheets on the bed? Do you put the good side in or out? So if you have one of these things in your life, then you can relate to John in our reading from the Gospel. He and his brother James are given the nickname Sons of Thunder in Mark. Now, we don't quite know what that means or what that's referring to, but we do know that John is likely to just dive right into the thick of things with utter certainty, bordering on obliviousness. And he is almost boasting of stopping someone from casting out demons in Jesus' name because they were not following us. They're not doing it like us. They are doing a deed of power in Jesus' name, but it needed to be stopped because they didn't do things the way we did, so obviously they were doing it wrong. You could almost hear the boasting tone in his voice, maybe looking around at the fellow disciples, a bit of a smile. Gotcha, I'm going to get a gold star for this one. And is that what happens? No. You can almost hear Jesus sigh. If they're doing things to help others in my name, but it isn't with your group or just like you, it's okay. Don't hinder or attack their work. And then Jesus goes on to teach us more about what this reign of God looks like and what is important in that reign. First is the recognition that those who are in the reign of God are not just those believers who gather with you. There are others doing deeds of power in the name of Jesus who don't hang with you, who do things differently, and while they may not follow you, they do follow Jesus. Now, who might those be for us? Well, our Presbyterian friends out the gravel road, Episcopalians, Methodists, our friends at the Shoeyville Church, Evangelicals. If they're doing deeds of power in the name of Jesus, exhibiting the reign of God, don't try and get in their way. To be followers of Jesus is to be in community with others. James gets at this in his second reading. There are at least 8 references to among you in that text. The assumption of a community of people that is actively caring for one another. They're praying, singing, confessing their sins to one another, bringing one another back to Christ when they wander. Kind of like Jesus does for John in our gospel today, right? Those moments where we go, whoa, slow your roll. Because the way in which we live in community with one another in the world is vital to our witness to the world. And what does it say to the world when we as followers of Jesus lead with denigrating or belittling what other followers of Jesus do just because we don't do it that way? Is that likely to bring in more believers or turn them off? Jesus says, if you want to be afraid of something, don't be afraid of another group of believers who are doing good things for others in my name. Rather, be afraid of causing someone who is new in the faith, one of these little ones who believe in me, that language. He says, you want to be afraid of something, be afraid of causing one of those to stumble. Literally, the word is to scandalize them. How? Well, you scandalize them by the way you act, by your language, by your attitude. You trip them up and cause them to fall away or reject this reign of God because of how we have presented and represented that reign to them. You want to be worried about something, Jesus says? Be worried about living in a community of believers in peace. Be worried about your faithfulness to the reign of God. Be worried about your own life in the community of faith that you are in. One of the things it means to follow Jesus is to be alert for where God is already active in the world, to recognize we don't have a corner on the truth of Jesus. Jesus is already out there and doing things, sometimes not even through his followers. We've worked over the last few years, particularly during our offering time, to help ourselves get better at recognizing that, haven't we? So even if we disagree on things that aren't essential, can we acknowledge the ways in which they are doing deeds of power that help people in the name of Jesus? I take issue with some of the theology present in the Financial Peace University curriculum, but I know folks who have had their lives and their faith transformed by participating in that program. I can recognize that deeds of power have been done in the name of Jesus through that. So can we recognize our unity in Christ within the diversity of how we live out that belief? We remember what has come before this passage in Mark today. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Pick up your cross. What does it mean to be great in the reign of heaven? It means being last of all, servant of all. And who's on the team, we learned today? Anyone doing deeds of power in Jesus' name, even if they aren't doing it exactly like us and folding their towel in thirds. And how is any of this possible? It's possible because we've been seasoned by Jesus. We have been preserved, saved by Jesus. I had a colleague who looked at that text about if salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be seasoned? And his take on it was, this is Jesus actually offering us comfort because salt cannot lose its NaCl-ness. It is always salt. And so once we have been seasoned by Jesus through the waters of baptism, through the word that comes to us in scripture, in conversation of believers, in proclamation, in song, once we've been seasoned that way, it never goes away. Our primary purpose in life is to follow Jesus, to keep our eyes on him and not on what other folks are doing. To go where he goes and proclaim the reign of God that he does. To be an outpost of that reign as best we can in our own little corner of the world, here on the corner of Walker and Rowley. And we do all of this for the sake of our neighbors, who God loves, and who we strive to love in the same way. But at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus, without whom none of this is possible, but with whom all things are possible. Thanks be to God.